On January 14, 2022, this Friday forum presented by the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at MSU Bozeman, formerly Wanderlust, featured Bozeman City Manager Jeff Millish discussing the state of the city, impact of the worker shortage, and other issues in the news. It is introduced by Bobby Geis, director of OLLI at MSU.
Thank you for joining us for our January Friday Forum, the first one of the year. We're excited to have you here. And I'd like to thank everyone on the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute Friday Forum committee, just John, Marjorie, and Richard, for helping to put together today's program and all the other ones last semester and this semester coming. My name is Bobby Geis, and I am the director here at OLLI at MSU. So just a quick history, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, otherwise known as OLLI at MSU, was established in 2002 as Wanderlust, that many of you know. So it's the same program and just a different name, and we've been offering engaging and thought-provoking lifelong learning programs for its members and often the general public for an audience 50 years and better. The organization joined Montana State University 4 years ago, and we're delighted this year to be celebrating our 20th year of lifelong learning. We have a whole host of programs this semester and in the fall 2022 to celebrate our 20th anniversary. We offer over 50 programs a semester, online or face-to-face, that are developed by our volunteers for our OLLI members. So thank you goes out to all our volunteers that help make this programming possible. And we encourage you, if you aren't already, to be an OLLI member or to renew your membership in support of these ever-expanding and fantastic, I'm a little biased, but lifelong learning programs. And today's speaker and Q&A will be moderated by our volunteer ambassador, John Sackett. So thank you, John, for joining us and your time and service today. I look forward to the presentation.
Thank you, Bobby. Well, I'm excited to introduce our Jeff Millish as our Bozeman City Manager. Jeff has 29 years of experience in large cities, small towns, counties, including his most recent term as Deputy City Manager and Chief Operating Officer at the City of Fort Collins, Colorado. He holds a Master's of Science degree in Urban and Regional Planning from Portland State University, and more than 25 years of experience in city and county government operations. He is responsible for day-to-day operations of the City of Bozeman and works with the city's executive leadership team to implement the organization's strategic plan. This is all exceedingly important as we face many challenges with the growth of the city and loss of so many of the employees that are instrumental in managing what we do day to day and our future. I'll be asking questions of Jeff to which you'll respond. So, Jeff, I'd like to welcome you and thank you so much for joining us for this Friday forum. We've talked a lot about the labor shortage within the city. How did that come about in the first place?
Yeah, John, thanks so much for having me as a guest today. I'm really excited to be here with the group, and thanks to everybody for attending. So, you know, it's interesting. I was intellectually curious myself about the labor shortage when it first started, and it seemed like it's been going on now for 2 years plus. And I've done my own personal research. I've also talked to some of my colleagues and other physicians similar to mine, leaders of other large organizations. And here's what I found out. Is that there is a strong connection to COVID-19 and health concerns. But other factors have played into the labor shortage as well. One is the continuing nationwide shortage of daycare and people choosing to stay home with their children instead of working out in the community. You'll also see that workers are now really holding out for higher wages if they can stay home and they can afford to stay home and not take on new work. If they're unemployed, then they're going to hold out for a better offer. And one thing I know we're seeing is that workers are definitely seeking more flexibility. More people definitely during COVID were allowed to work from home, and people do appreciate working from home and like that flexibility. So looking for that. And, you know, people are starting to make more and different decisions about their work. And I think there's some generational aspects about that too, that I'm happy to share my perspective on if you're interested. And we've seen across the country, and certainly here in Bozeman, more people are starting their own businesses, which I find interesting. Folks were reluctant to do that in the past, but the economy continues to roar. And I think people think that they can make a little bit more money on their own business. So they're giving that a whirl. And I think COVID has also created some stress in our country. I think that goes without saying. And people are really sitting back and assessing or reassessing what they want to do and how they want to work. And it's funny, one particular data point I'll share with you is that the Pew Research Center survey recently found out that 66% of people who experienced unemployment during the pandemic seriously considered changing their field of work. Again, 66%. That's a pretty phenomenal number to me. So we'll see what happens. That's a far greater percentage than we even saw during the Great Recession. People are thinking that pandemic may not go away. They may occur again. And they're looking for higher paying jobs and something that may be pandemic proof if there is such a thing.
We hear a lot about labor shortages across many, many businesses. What is it about Bozeman that makes it so difficult, especially for the city?
Yeah, I think that the labor shortage is definitely affecting everybody across the country. But I do think that it's hurting those areas that are the growing communities, right? The communities where people are moving into, where they want to be. And that could be the Bend, Oregon, the Fort Collins, the city of Bozeman, for sure. So I think the labor shortage is hitting us even harder. I really think that's the case. It's very expensive to live in the city of Bozeman. I think we're realizing that. I think the cost of housing has gone up 30%, again, 30% over the past year, and that's making it much more difficult. So the demand for services, the demand for business continues to grow. And at the same time, salaries aren't necessarily keeping up with it. So I think that's why it's unique. For the city of Bozeman itself, we're like any other major employer, all those factors impact the city of Bozeman as an employment group, much like any other large employment group.
And Jeff, related to that, with respect to Bozeman, is there data to show that younger folks are moving out of Bozeman, especially due to housing affordability?
Yeah, there's absolutely some factors there. That's one of the things I was hoping you were going to ask me later on. I'll address it now. The high cost of living has created a tremendous strain on people dedicating a lot more of their resources to housing, whether they're renting or they're trying to, acquire their own owner-occupied unit through a mortgage. You're seeing a lot of younger folks, and you can go ahead and do your own research anecdotally and talk to folks that are living together, sometimes 3-4 people sharing a house, sharing an apartment. It's troubling. A lot of folks in the service industry, retail, hospitality, who don't have high wages, are finding it nearly impossible to live in the city of Bozeman.
Is the cost of housing and a 30% increase in both housing for purchase as well for rent having a major impact?
It is, for all the reasons I've noted before. People have to make choices then. Do they stay in the city and place more of their income towards housing, or do they live elsewhere, or do they live on the edges of the community, or do they completely live out of the region? And I've seen instances of all that.
What city departments are most impacted by all of them?
Yeah, it's interesting. We're seeing impacts in every department. But areas where we've seen consistent challenges are really in those areas that rely on part-time or seasonal employees. Our Parks and Recreation Department this summer had a particularly difficult time recruiting seasonal employees. Lifeguards is one specific example. I remember when I was a kid and in high school, everybody wanted to be a lifeguard. It was a cool job. You get to hang out outside, you get to get a tan and so forth. And we've done a lot of different things to try to recruit lifeguards, but it was really hard. And we actually had to limit some of our hours at our recreational facilities. Finding folks to help with parks maintenance has been tricky as well. But I can tell you across the board, it's been really difficult to retain and attract employees, particularly part-time and seasonal workers.
What has been your biggest challenge, retaining employees or recruiting new employees?
Yeah, it actually has been both, candidly. Trying to retain people has been a challenge because a lot of people, as I mentioned, are kind of hitting the pause button. They're reassessing their life, their family life, and wondering if there's something else out there, right? Should I leave, right? the high cost of living, the high cost of housing has been hard as well. And those people who actually, and this is unique, and I hear this story more and more, those folks who have lived in the city of Bozeman for a while and are a city employee that have a fair amount of equity built up in their home, all of a sudden they realize that the cost of their home or the value of their home has increased 30%. They do the math and say, wait a minute, I can sell my home and I can, you know, make a profit of $100,000 plus on my home. Maybe I want a fresh start. Maybe I'll sell my property and go someplace else. So we see some people leaving the city in that case as well. So it's really impacting us in both recruitment and also retaining. For recruitment, we post ads, you know, nationally many times. People are very interested. They know about Bozeman. They know it's a go-to city that people want to move to. But then they look at the cost of housing and the cost of other things and like, ugh, they just can't make the numbers work. So it is both challenging to recruit and retain employees, both.
What are some of the similarly affected cities like Bend, Fort Collins, Jackson Hole? Were they handling the labor shortage?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you exactly how they're handling it. I've talked to a few of my colleagues. Obviously I worked in Fort Collins before I came here 2 years ago, and we've been trading ideas back and forth, but we're all facing the same challenges. I think there's a fair amount of COVID flight, and let me talk about that a little bit. So you did see people predominantly on both coasts, particularly on the East Coast, where it's, you know, high concentrations of population that were hit particularly hard by the pandemic, deciding to look elsewhere, right, for housing. And especially those folks that have the flexibility in their job to be able to work remotely, in other words, work anywhere. So we're seeing people by way of example, and I know a few folks that have moved here from places like New York City, where it's high cost of living already. They sell their property, they realize a profit, and they can live anywhere in the world. And a lot of people are saying, boy, if I can live anywhere in the world, I wouldn't mind living in Bend or Fort Collins and definitely the city of Bozeman. So they come here, they're buying property sight unseen. They're making offers and even bidding it up a little bit. And that's making our affordable housing crisis that much more challenging for us.
Are many of the city employees working online only?
I wouldn't say there's a bunch working online only. We are in the customer service business, so it does require us, and we want to provide good customer service. But by way of example, we continue to experiment with doing more and more online. I'll give you two stories on that. Right now, we have a city planner, believe it or not, that is working exclusively online for the city of Bozeman. And she lives in Colorado. And that's actually working really well. We send her plans to review via web-based platforms. She looks at PDFs. She writes her staff reports. She even presents to the Community Development Advisory Board and the City Commission all remotely. And that's working really well. It's working well for her and it's working well for us. So I think that's a really good example of that. Right now, we actually are experiencing quite a few city employees that have contracted the COVID-19 virus. And I'm at City Hall right now, and there's probably only about 12 people in City Hall where there should be about 50. And all of those employees, because I want to keep people safe, I said, hey, if you can do your job at home today and you can get on a web-based platform and do your job, please do so, because I don't want you to get ill. And again, that's creating a mindset of, can we have more people working remotely, working from home, and still getting their job done. So yeah, we're doing that a lot.
Temporary housing, for example, MSU dorm spaces. Any option there that you've seen?
Yeah, that's interesting. And obviously there's people from MSU on the call. Somebody sent either a note to me or I saw it in the newspaper or something. I think that's a pretty interesting idea, right? If we can have seasonal workers, particularly those from outside the region, come in and work out a partnership between the city and Montana State to maybe take some of those dorms that are vacant during the summer months and have the seasonal employees work there. I think that's a brilliant idea. I'd love to explore that.
What can we do to better attract and retain employees and even engage these new transplant residents? So that gets to the question about how you're dealing with these crises.
Yeah, thanks for asking that. There's a whole bunch of things. So we've defined the problem pretty well, I think, along the way. And at the end of the day, I think it won't come as any surprise that the number one reason that people will stay is salary, right? If we can increase their salaries, they're more likely to stay more than anything else. That and having a good relationship with their supervisor. So we have done a citywide, in terms of city employee pay analysis, right, to make sure that our employees are being paid commensurate with the work itself, their credentials, but also comparing us to our peer cities. And our peer cities really have changed. So the way the analyses have been done in the past, we compare ourselves to Livingston, Belgrade, you know, other cities in Montana. I think that's a kind of an antiquated system. Bozeman is on the map. I think we all know that. We're becoming a much more sophisticated city in many ways. The demands of our residents are increasing, which I appreciate, and I think that's good. Candidly, the demands from my office are increasing as well. I want us to become a best practice city. So we are comparing our salaries of our employees now to the Eugenes, the Fort Collins, the Bends, not the Belgrades and the Livingston. It has nothing to do with those communities, the smaller communities. It's just the expectations are much higher. So we have done an analysis of salaries, and we have increased salaries actually pretty significantly for a number of employees. You know, that's really retaining. But another thing we've done with money that we haven't considered before, and we're doing it now, are actually retention bonuses or retention payments. And this is really geared at seasonal employees and part-time employees. We've had challenges in the past with people signing up to work for the city. They come in, we train them, and they get another and better offer, and then they leave. And it's like, oh, nothing is more frustrating than going through a recruitment process, spending the time to interview people, bringing them on site, training them, and they quickly leave. I'm like, oh, and I've not experienced that much in my career before. So we're actually now offering retention bonuses and retention payments. We have a lot of people that have left the city over the past several months for all the reasons I've stated before. So now city employees that will stay with us through January 1st are actually getting a $1,000 retention bonus. All employees then again will receive another $2,000 retention bonus if they're with us through June of next year. And then as we hire new employees, we're also going to provide a signing bonus of $1,000 when they sign on. And people might be saying, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money, Jeff. Well, it is. But these are the types of things that the private sector are doing on a routine basis. You guys have probably seen the ads and the newspaper articles like I have. And I think it's something we need to do. And we have implemented those. And at the end of the day, money talks. And people are motivated by salary, retention bonus, et cetera.
What are the solutions or creative programs that can reverse these trends? Northwest Arkansas is attracting new employees by offering $10,000 in Bitcoin and a bicycle for new transfers to the area.
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about, I mean, Bitcoin I haven't thought about yet. That's an interesting strategy. Maybe we could offer those bonuses in Bitcoin if that's someone's preference. It's a neat idea. A bicycle, you know, all right, I'm down with that. That's not super expensive. That could be cool. Here's the thing that I know, though. Money is important. But some of the other new programs that we're implementing or moving to the top of the pile include these other things, and I'll rattle them off to you. One is paid parental leave, right? I admit that we're a little behind. When I started with the city 2 years ago and I knew our paid parental leave program hasn't really been fully implemented, I'm like, okay, we got to get that done. But because of the labor shortage and because of the pandemic, it just never made its way to the top of the pile. But I've heard handful of times from folks that, man, if you had a better paid parental leave program, I might consider signing up with the city. And again, paid parental leave is simply that if someone has a child or adopts a child, I want to stress that, then we provide paid leave for people to spend time with that newborn or the newly adopted child. And that's both for female employees, male employees, et cetera, right? Or non-gender employees. Whoever has a new child, whether it's adopted or a new birth, then they should get that time off. So, and it's 8 weeks and it's paid, and it's something we've done recently. We're also, and people have mentioned this before, increasing remote work opportunities. If you would ask me 4 or 5 years ago if we'd ever have a city planner that works in Colorado for us and never comes to the city of Bozeman, I'm like, no way, but it's working. So we're doing a lot more of that. The other thing we've learned is that performance evaluations, believe it or not, are critically important to people. Again, we were a little behind the times. When I got here, I'm like, we don't do very well consistently performance reviews, but people really value that. So we're increasing that program. We talked a lot about housing. We're actually now going to be entering into agreements with private apartment complexes to make sure that we, the city, have access to at least two or three apartment units at all times. And the reason for that is, and this is perhaps unique to places like Bozeman and others, because we have such a housing shortage and because it's so expensive, people actually accept a job from the city, they get here, and they simply can't find a place to live. So we're going to get these three apartment units that we're going to lease longer term, and we're going to allow newly relocated employees to use those units. Now, not for free, let me stress, not for free. They'll have to pay rent to us, but at least they'll have a place to stay when they first get here. And that's critically important. That's not something we've ever done before. And then we're doing little things, which may not seem like a big deal, but, you know, employee appreciation, whether it's a card over the holidays, whether it's a $100 gift card for someone over the holidays, that stuff is really meaningful to people. And then other programs, and I'm sorry to rattle these all off, but this, it just shows you the extent that we're doing to address our labor shortage, include additional leave. Like we added the Juneteenth holiday as a paid holiday for city employees. Okay. We're also providing more childcare. I can't stress enough how childcare continues to inhibit our workforce and force people to make that really difficult decision. Do I stay home with my kids because that's the most affordable choice? Or do I go out and seek employment and hope I can find some affordable childcare, which is very, very difficult in our community? So what we're doing now, and we did this during the pandemic, and now we're offering it again, is to actually allow city employees to take advantage of our city recreational programs that happen all day during the day. So basically someone can take their child, if they're a city employee, take it to our recreational programs that go all day. That's the form of daycare, and then they can go on with their work. And providing it for free, meaning they're not going to have to pay for that. Now, there's an opportunity cost to that. That means a city employee's kid or child takes that space from somebody else, but at least now they're coming to work and we don't have to fill that position. We're also looking at more and more opportunities for short-term workers, seasonal part-time to fill voids. Again, I mentioned before, people are looking for flexibility, looking for shorter commitments. And if we can fill some of the gaps and get work done with short-term employees, we're absolutely willing to do that. Then I guess I'd lastly say that people are really interested and excited about progressing within an organization, right? They always want to move in to be a supervisor, a director, a manager. So we're actually really providing a more robust supervisory training program that encourages people to stay within the organization, to get the training they need, and hopefully seek out promotional opportunities. So that was a really long answer. I'm sorry about that. But there's just lots of different things that we're implementing to try to address the labor shortage here in the city.
And Jeff, I would ask, what have you seen in terms of the impact of all of these changes? Are you just beginning many of these, and how are they working?
Yeah, we are just beginning some of these, but I can tell you that when we announced the retention bonuses, you know, our employees were thrilled. As soon as I sent the all city email about the retention bonus program, my email box just lit up with employees. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for competing for the private sector. Thank you for providing with an opportunity and a reason to stay, etc. So those are really well. Some of these other longer term things that address housing or address supervisory training, don't know yet, John, but I can't imagine they won't be embraced by employees. Ask me again in a year, or ask me again in 2 years how effective they've been, and I can give you a better answer.
All right. Well, we'll do that. Is it only cost of housing, or is the cost of living in Bozeman especially high compared to other peer cities?
I don't think it is, actually. I think housing is really our biggest challenge. You know, I travel enough, and a lot of people do too. Not having a sales tax actually helps us, right, in that case. I truly think it's housing. Yes, I think the price of retail goods has gone up a little bit, but I'll tell you what, you look at those other cities I keep mentioning, Bend, Fort Collins, et cetera, those prices are going up too. So it's interesting. I am a proponent of having a local option sales tax in the community. I think it provides us some revenue resources to do things like building affordable housing and infrastructure and other things. But I truly think it's daycare, cost of daycare, and the cost of housing that are our biggest challenges here in the city.
A related question to housing, and of the 65 or so police officers, only fewer than 10 live in Bozeman. What is the deficit in city employees at the moment?
in terms of how many vacancies do we have? The last time I checked, we had 87 employees out of a staff of 500. So that's a huge percentage from my standpoint. And candidly, John, that changes every single day. Just to give one specific example, our finance department, and this is not related to COVID, right? But our finance department at full staff is 14. And as of last week, we only had 7 employees there. So that's 50%, right? Other places we're doing much better. Our streets department is fully staffed and so forth. But yeah, it's really hard right now. We're experiencing on a daily basis somewhere between 15 to 20% vacancy rate in the city.
And I presume that's also impacted by COVID cases and quarantines. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And as I mentioned today, I know we're really hitting hard right this minute. I'll just give another example. So the major departments in City Hall, just by one example, are City Attorney's Office, City Manager's Office, HR and Finance. Every one of those offices, like my office is closed. I'm the only one in the office right now. And I'm in my office, right? But I can't obviously serve customers or answer the phone when I'm having this good conversation with you. Our HR department is only open from 8 a.m. until 1 o'clock, and they're closed because there's only 2 folks there. Our finance department, same thing, 8 a.m. to noon, and that's it. And they have to do the back office, meaning pay the bills. So it's impacting us. You're right, John. It's the double whammy. We already have a labor shortage, but then when you add COVID on top of it, where people are either have COVID in isolation or have to be home to take care of a sick family member. Yeah, it's getting challenging, but we're still able to keep the streets open. We're putting out fires. We're keeping water flowing.
What do you see as the major impact to the citizens of the city at this point? Services being curtailed, that sort of thing, Jeff?
Yeah, maybe I'll give it a couple of different ways. I'll tell you how I think it's impacting city residents in terms of city services. Then I'll just talk maybe more broadly, because I do think it's important. So yeah, we're reducing hours at our facilities. One great example, I'll refer back to our pool facilities. Here we are in the middle of the summer. We are actually promoting a bond measure in November to make improvements to both our aquatics facilities. And at the same time, we cannot get enough lifeguards. So we had to limit the hours of those pools. And if you think about our outdoor pool in Montana, that's limited. It can only be open for a number of weeks anyway because of the climate. But then we had to further restrict those hours because we didn't have enough lifeguards and our indoor aquatics facility at the same time, or our arborists, or folks that we would hire as seasonal workers to tend to our cemetery and make sure that's in good order. So all of those things take a long time. In the finance department, for example, there's still a lot of people that are not comfortable or just don't choose to pay their bills or do their business online. We have all kinds of online platforms. You can pay just about every bill online, but some people just want that face-to-face contact. They want to pay in cash. They want to write a check. They want to hand it to a person. And when those hours are limited, it impacts us. And it's really sad. Our recreation programs are the same. We had to cut back on some of those this summer, and people really want and value those resources. So that's a challenge. I would say more broadly though, in the city, I would say there's a lot of businesses that have curtailed their hours. The one that was the most stunning to me a bit was this summer that Starbucks on 19th Avenue, of all businesses and all places, they weren't open on Saturday. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. But if you talk to them, you know, Starbucks of all people, they couldn't find employees. They just couldn't do it. So I do think it's impacting us across the board. We had a ballot measure this November about affordable housing. You know, in other words, should we take so many of our property tax mills and dedicate it to affordable housing? And it failed by 276 votes. So it was close, but that's not just about people who are impacted by not being able to find an affordable apartment or being able to own their own home. It's impacting all of us because people are not being able to live and here and work here. And because of that, services and hours are limited across the board. So I do think it's impacting all of us.
Related to perks that can be offered to city employees. And that was about tuition reimbursement for skill development from MSU. Are any of those perks being considered?
Yeah, we actually do have a good tuition reimbursement program already, but that's a good example. I would say that all major employees, the county, Bozeman Health, Billings Clinic, et cetera, yeah, tuition reimbursement is an important program for retention and recruitment.
The monetary incentives are great to attract and retain employees. Where in your budget are you finding the money to be able to do that?
Yeah, that's really a fair question, but it's pretty easy to get there, right? So if you have 15 to 20% vacancy in your employees, you have vacancy savings. In other words, we're not paying salaries to the people when they're not here, they're vacant. So we're taking vacancy savings, which is significant, and that's how we're paying for these retention bonuses.
Work culture also plays the role of retention. How is this addressed within the city?
That's fair. I think a lot of the cultural pieces that we're talking about, I've rattled off before, but the paid parental leave. So in other words, giving people the space to go start their family, incredibly important. The remote work, you know, if people feel more comfortable working from home and they can be efficient and productive, then we're going to provide that. The performance evaluations also, how do I stand in the organization? Am I doing a good job? People need that clarity. Housing as well. The employee appreciation programs for sure. This year, we couldn't have a holiday party because of the pandemic, but everybody got a $100 gift card. And you'd be surprised from a cultural standpoint how that impacts people. You know, I had one employee say, Jeff, thanks for the $100 gift card. Now I can buy toys for my kids. And that stuff's really important. That, and it's just the continual reminder to everybody to stay as positive as you can, right? I can't dictate that they must be positive, right? That just doesn't happen. But you can encourage positivity. You can tell employees to say, hey, if there's an opportunity for you to help your colleague who may be doing more work because their coworker is unemployed, then let's do that, right? Also, I mean, to look at the bright side, you know, kind of a glass is half full instead of half empty. If we're having a labor shortage and someone can help take on some additional duties, maybe they're enhancing their skills and their marketability, right? So those cultural pieces are critically important. I say there's approach to strategy, and that's how we the amount of work we get done, but then also the cultural piece, and that is how we go about getting that work done. And that's, we need to do it in a safe way, in a productive way, and in a collaborative environment. That's the culture pieces that are critical.
How is the city thinking about public transportation? That is, connecting our neighboring communities as part of the plan to address the housing crisis and labor shortage. Already mentioned that most of the police force live outside of Bozeman.
Yep, that's a great question. It's funny. I was on a call interview earlier today, as a matter of fact, about ways to increase our transit system. The thought is simply this, that, you know, we do have a transit system that serves the city of Bozeman. It's provided by HRDC and it's called Streamline. And it is very much a skeletal system that provides a handful of routes. I think the head times is like an hour, right? So it's not all over the city and it doesn't pick up people every 15 minutes. But to the point, it's if people had an opportunity to get anywhere they can in the city, or even in our region, to their point, with a faster and more efficient and affordable transit system, wouldn't that benefit all of us? And the answer is absolutely. I know a number of people that either live in Bozeman and go to Livingston, or live in Belgrade and come to Bozeman for work, and vice versa. And having that robust transit system absolutely helps address our affordable housing crisis and the cost of living crisis. But there's other pieces to that too. Some of our other long-range plans include reducing traffic congestion, lowering our greenhouse gases, in other words, climate action planning, providing greater quality of life, et cetera. And a robust transit system is going to address all those issues. So yes, there is a plan in place to develop a federal transportation district, because now we are a metropolitan planning organization, because we're a city now of over 50,000 for the first time. And we could get much greater access to federal funds to have a more robust transit system. So, yep, it's something we're thinking about seriously. It's a regional effort. Let me stress that, not just a city effort, because we need to partner with the county, Belgrade, Livingston, and others.
And Jeff, that raises another question in my mind, and that is, with all of these challenges and some of the innovation required to address them, it's an opportunity to reinvent ourselves as a city. What are you thinking about the long-term future in this regard?
Yeah, I think remote work is really important. But here's the other thing that I think is critically important too. There are actually generational differences in how people now approach not only their work on a day-to-day basis, but also their career path. And this is a bit of a launch, so bear with me, but I've been thinking about this quite a lot in my career. So you can imagine someone that's in my career, whether I'm a city manager or past a deputy or a director before that, I've had a lot of opportunity to mentor younger staff. And I can tell you that over the past couple of decades, that there are generational differences of how people approach that now. When I was in my 20s and 30s personally, right, I would move a fair amount, right? I've worked for 5 different cities in my career. And when my father was still alive, and I would move, and I moved from Portland to Virginia to Illinois and then to Arizona, my father, who was a union railroad worker, would say, "Oh my gosh, Jeff, why do you keep moving cities? You can't do that. You've got to stay with your organization." Well, that is something that people were really proud of. My father worked for Milwaukee Road and Amtrak, et cetera, always in the railroad business for 40 years. And people used to do that regularly. You'd hear people work for an organization 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I actually think that's becoming a thing of the past. People are interested in working for a number of different organizations throughout their career because maybe they're curious. Maybe they can get more money. Maybe they can get more opportunities. But people are just interested in exploring different organizations. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is, I think folks, when I was younger, when I'd sit down and mentor them, I would say, "So what is your career path?" And someone in their 20s would say, "Well, you know, I love my job now, and then I want to be a supervisor, and then I want to be a manager, and I would love to be a director." And then people were really spunky would say, "And then I want to have your job." And that would always make me smile, right? And I would encourage them and support them. But that was like a decade plus ago. Now, when I meet with people that are in their 20s and even into their early 30s, I ask them, I'm like, "What is your ultimate career goal? And how do you plan on getting there?" A lot of them go like this to me. They're not sure. And I always found that fascinating because I know when I was fresh out of graduate school, I was 21 years old or 23, wherever I was, I kind of knew my career path. I knew how I wanted to go. I didn't know exactly where or how, but I knew what I wanted to do. And I think now generationally, folks in their 20s and 30s are a little bit more, we'll see how it goes. And again, we shouldn't disparage them. We shouldn't judge them. But there are more and more folks that are younger that really aren't sure. So when people leave the organization, they're not nervous about it. They're not scared about it. But I certainly was when I was their age. So I think those things are changing a little bit. So we do need to provide more flexibility. Here's what I know too, that we used to be able to put someone in a position and they would do that work and they would love it and they'd work hard and they'd stay there. But now what I'm seeing is that employees in most departments actually are really interested in working on many things, even outside their job description. And I thought about this in Fort Collins, and I think about it now. We're trying to lower the fences for people. And here's what I mean by that. If someone is working in economic development and they're doing a really cool job, but they're also very interested in working in climate action plan work, right? They might be kind of looking over the fence at the folks responsible for climate action planning. They're like, "Hey, I kind of want to work in that space too." Well, I've been doing more and more with forming collaborative teams to attack bigger issues. And when I talk about bigger issues in the city, it's diversity, equity, inclusion. It's climate action planning. It's growth. It's affordable housing. It's dealing with people experiencing homelessness. I don't have the depth or the financial resources to hire experts in all those spaces, right? It's a lot. But if I send out a note to the entire organization, and I say, "Hey, can I have some volunteers to work on homelessness, affordable housing, and climate?" A lot of people are interested, especially people in their 20s and 30s. So I'm actually looking to hire more unicorns, if that makes sense to people. People that come in with a really good skill set of working hard, good communicators, and are curious. You bring them into an organization, you give them a range of opportunities, and you try to get them out there. That, to me, is an effective retention approach. So again, I launched, but that's something I've been thinking about for a long time.
Have you given any consideration to job sharing?
Yeah, we do that a lot. And I guess it's not even so much job sharing, because that's like, you know, two people doing the same work. Yes, we are. I mentioned short-term working, part-time working, remote working. You know, someone might say, "You know, I don't want to work full-time, but I'll work 20 hours a week, or I'll work 15, or I'll work 20, but I only want to work from home." So yeah, you take that job, you split it up, and you use different employees to do that. But what I was talking about earlier was more giving people an opportunity to work in their primary job. And it could be like an economic development specialist, right? But letting them have 20% of their 40 hours a week to work in other places like climate action planning, affordable housing, et cetera. So a little bit of both.
Many people come to Bozeman in retirement. Can these folks be lured out of retirement with part-time work with the city?
A great idea. Love the idea. And if you know any really good, hardworking, qualified people, I've got a lot of job opportunities for them. So yes, I would love that. And I will also say, you know, we're looking for people to make a commitment, right? What we don't want to do is have people come in, work for a month and leave, right? So yeah, I would encourage folks who are retired or semi-retired or just plain bored, if they have energy and they want to come work for the city for several months or a couple of years, that would be fantastic. And maybe they can share their wealth of knowledge and help us train other people.
How are you doing to meet the equal pay resolution passed by the commission in terms of equality of pay and benefits for women commensurate with men?
Yep, that's a fantastic question. Just to give some background, so the city a couple of years ago passed an equity pay ordinance, and it's exactly what it sounds like. There should be no discrimination or difference based on how we pay employees based on their gender, no matter what. Man, woman, non-gender, non-binary, everybody should be paid the same. So we actually look at all of our classifications. We look at all of our employees, every single one of them, and we track their pay, whether it's a merit increase, retention bonus, or salary. We make sure there's no differences with people. So it's almost like you should give people a number and look at their pay and never, ever look at their gender. And as part of that equity ordinance that the city commission passed, they said the city manager must provide an annual update to make sure we're staying on path. And we do that. And I'm proud to tell you that we're making great progress in pay equity.
What a group of volunteers help relieve critical shortage of workers. I've seen this strategy used in other towns. Of course, there are many considerations such as liability, but it could be an option to examine. What's your thought about that, Jeff?
This is another one of those things where labor shortage and pandemic kind of went crossways on this one. We had a relatively robust volunteer program, but we were really nervous during the pandemic of inviting folks, you know, into the community and into our work environment to help out with work if we didn't know if they were vaccinated, were they being cautious about masking, et cetera, and just plain having groups of people coming together. So we did a lot of work remotely, et cetera. So that kind of squashed our volunteer program temporarily, but we still use volunteers all the time. We have a very robust volunteer program. We just have to prop that back up post-pandemic. But there's certain work that we simply cannot use with just volunteers or certain sets of experience, education, certifications, et cetera. But should we use volunteers wherever we can? Absolutely. It's a good solution.
Constraints to Bozeman growth. Is there a population limit for Bozeman related to water availability, quality, things like that? Do you see us curtailing growth from those constraints at some point?
Yeah. It's hard for me to describe this without being super technical, but I think we're going to grow to a city of about $100,000 to $150,000 at our ultimate build out, right? Is water a constraint? Sure, absolutely it is. We're in what's called a closed basin, which means that all the water that is available for development is already within our basin, and people can't bring water from outside and bring it in. So what we have to do to accommodate growth, and it's not necessarily the city in every case, and it's developers, is they have to find the water rights and bring that to the table. In other words, if there's a rancher, if there's a farmer, if there's other property owner, a lot of those properties, most of those properties have water rights with them, right? So when a property is ripe for development and they want to build a higher density development, they have to go buy those water rights from somebody else and then bring that water to the table. And then we, the city, obviously treat that raw water and provide it to the new developed area. There's a lot of things that'll limit growth. One is we want to only grow to a certain size, right? That's number one. Number two is there's physical constraints. I don't see us going up into the Bridgers or into any other areas or east or west, but I think a city of 150,000 or so within our valley is a good number. We need to continue to explore ways to make sure we provide infrastructure, but what we won't do, I can promise you that, what we won't do is approve new annexations, new subdivision, new development without having adequate road capacity, adequate sanitary sewer treatment capacity, adequate parks and recreation services, and adequate water. We have to do that. That's a fundamental reason for us to exist as a city, is to make sure that we have great land use planners, great engineers, et cetera.
Has the city considered sponsoring J-1 visas for seasonal workers, as is being done in Big Sky?
Have not. That's interesting. I'm going to take note of that one. We should look into it. Thank you.
What is your understanding of the effect of more housing units at all price levels? And that relates to the fact that we see a lot of apartments going up. We see more high-rise apartments, such things. Is that where the emphasis is?
You hear a lot of people talking about affordable housing, right? Affordable housing. And that's usually, you know, you can define it a bunch of different ways. True affordable housing is 0 to 60% of median household income, 60 to 80, 90, maybe even up to 100 is what people consider a missing middle, right? It's not for people who are truly destitute. You know, that's zero. That's people who need help via a homeless shelter. But it's for people who make a decent wage, but just struggle to find a decent place. But then there's also that move-up market. I can think of all kinds of examples of where people are actually in an affordable unit by definition and actually would love to move up to a different unit, but there's no supply. You guys go ahead and do your own research. Go online after this meeting and try to find out how many homes are for sale in our community. And it's probably somewhere between 10 and 35 in our entire city. And then on top of that, try to find one that's less than $500,000. You'll have a tough time finding any. Our housing crisis is not just in the 0 to 120%. To me, it goes from zero all the way up to almost 200% of area median income, believe it or not, because we need people to be able to move up in the market. I'll give you one specific example. Our city clerk's a really nice man. He and his wife married not long ago. They live in a smallish apartment in the city of Bozeman. They had their first child. They want to have another child. They're looking at their existing space and said, you know what? We need a two-bedroom, perhaps a three-bedroom. Guess what? He couldn't find a place in the city that he could afford, and he makes a nice living. So he left. He went to Belgrade. At least he's not far, but that's not what we should be happening in the city. We have to grow our housing market. We have to increase supply across the entire spectrum. Should it stop at like 700,000 or so? Yep, probably, right? But it has to be more than just affordable housing. We need more housing supply across that whole spectrum.
And Jeff, thank you for a great presentation. I think we've all learned a lot, and I'm sure there are more questions that people would like to ask, but we'll let you make your 1 o'clock meeting. And again, with many thanks, Jeff, this has been great.
You have just heard a Friday Forum presentation featuring Bozeman City Manager Jeff Milich discussing the state of the city, impact of the worker shortage, and other issues in the news. It was recorded via Zoom on January 14th, 2022. This has been a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman.